if someday, then you just have to become crazy. If you don't, you're crazy. And just throw dice at each other, different colors, and after that, they all hide back, and they all red and white, and yellow and green and blue. And all their clothes is yellow and green and white and red. And the meaning of this festival, Lord Chaitanya, not without a reason, appeared on this festival. Because this is the very ancient festival of love, which was celebrated since very long. Actually, the origin of this festival is from another yuga. This holy, the word holy is coming from the name Holika. Holika is a very holy name. It was the name of the sister of Hiranyakashipu. She was a very holy woman. And she was a demoness at the same time. Being a great ascetic, she performed some austerities for a long time. And by these austerities, Agni, the god of fire, came to her and granted her benediction. And Agni said, "You will never be touched by Agni. You will never be touched by fire. Fire will not harm you in any circumstances." So this holy sister of Hiranyakashipu, when she saw how much suffering undergoes Hiranyakashipu, trying to kill his son, you know, he was trying by all means. He was throwing him under the elephants. He was throwing him in the pit of snakes, cobras, so on and so forth. So this Holika, she became very compassionate towards her brother, Hiranyakashipu. And she said to her brother, "If you want me to kill him, I will kill him. I will take him into the fire. And then he will be burnt and I will not be burnt. So let's make this arrangement." And Hiranyakashipu was very happy about this, and they made a huge fire, many, many meters high, you know, huge, huge fire. All the wood which was there in the kingdom of Hiranyakashipu was brought there just to kill Prahlad. And this Holika took Prahlad, and she petted him, and she said, "Dear boy, please sit on my lap." And he sat on her lap, and she went into the fire. And after some time, when the fire was finished, they all saw that she was burned, but Prahlad Maharaj was not burned. That was the end of the story. So, since that time, people are celebrating this event because Prahlad Maharaj was protected. And ultimately, this is the festival when the people are celebrating this protection of the Lord. But just to kind of commemorate this event, people are throwing dice. And originally it was only red dye. And the red dye was like a cloud of the fire. It was like imitation of the fire. And, you know, the meaning of this throwing dice was that, you know, you enter this fire and you are still safe because Lord is protecting you. But after some time, the meaning slightly changed. And actually this festival is very famous, especially in Braj. In Braj area, in one village, there is a special schedule. This festival is celebrated for 5 days, or sometimes 7 days in a row. And in one village, they made these huge fires. And there are special Vaishnavas who are living there, the Nrisimha Vaishnavas. They're worshipping Lord Nrisimha there. And to prove that they're protected by the Lord, this Vaishnavas entering this huge fire. This fire is also many meters high. You know, they're entering. Of course, they don't stay there in the fire, but they go from another side. And they're not harmed at all. That's one way of celebrating this holy. But in the rest of Raj, people are celebrating holy as much and in the same manner as gopis were celebrating holy. And it's a very special event. And especially this event or this day is celebrated on Varshana. And there is a very special way how they celebrate it in Varshana. In Varshana, the celebration on this day starts very early. And usually, the pandits, the mahants from Nandagram, at that day, come to Varshana. And all the pandits or mahants, all the priests of Varshana, they come to the temple of Srimati Radharani, which is there in Varshana. Varshana is the birthplace of Srimati Radharani. And they sit in front of each other. And they get the best mridanga players. And they get the huge drum. Not like this. The huge drum. This, you know. And the best mridanga player is there. And they start bhajan. And they start bhajan in a very special way. They sit in front of each other. And first, the people from Varshana, they start singing something. And they sing something together. Not like we sing bhajan. You know, somebody sings that others repeats. They sing together. All the pandits who are there, they all know by heart the bhajan. And from Varshana, they started accusing Krishna. Krishna is so bad. Krishna is dead. Krishna is black. And his heart is black. Because his heart is black. He's so treacherous. So they say. And then the people from... Then the turn of people from Varshana starts. Oh, sorry, from Nandagram. And from Nandagram, the people from Nandagram, they start singing their accusation against the people from Varshana. And they say, you're so bad. Krishna is good. You're bad. But they never touch the name of Srimati Radharani. So it's going on for a couple of hours. This battle in the bhajan. They're sitting together and the, you know, the drum is becoming boom, 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 more and more intense. And you're like hurling curses to each other. You're bad. You're bad. Because there is an ancient rivalry between Varshana and Nandagram. There is a very special thing. You know. In Varshana, the ladies are very powerful, and in Nandagram, the men are very powerful. This is the eternal war between the sexes. Anyway, so at one point, the atmosphere becomes so intense that, you know, somebody, you know, his nerves break because, you know, there is so much going on, you know, and the drum is beating and singing. And finally, somebody just throws dice to the opposite side. And then the madness starts. The madness breaks, you know. They're throwing, you know, water and dice and everything. And it becomes really mad. And at the same time, they're singing. So that's how it's going on in Varshana. It's a very special festival. And then after that, the ladies from Varshana, they go and they beat all the men, you know, all the men from Nandagram. And the men are not supposed to protect themselves. They just beat them. Anyway, that's the only day when they do it. But, and usually, in this festival, not usually, always, people from Varshana won. That's a tradition. Never people from Nandagram. When they go there, they know they will lose. They still fight for Krishna. But usually they lose. Always they lose. Because this is the festival of love. Because ultimately, what can protect us in this world? Only love. There's nothing else which can protect us. And even though originally that was the festival of celebrating this protection, or protecting event, ultimately this became a festival of love, and because the love of Srimati Radharani is stronger, therefore people from Varshana always win. And Lord Chaitanya, he has chosen to come to this world on this very day, because his point, which he wanted to make by appearing on this day, is that the love is stronger. He wanted, by his appearance, the appearance day of incarnation, it's called Vijaya, or Jayanti. Jayanti means triumph. Jayanti means victory. By coming to this world, the Lord is always victorious. When we come to this world, we're always defeated. Like these poor people from Nandagram, you know. When we come to this world, we always cry, you know. Because we know, ultimately, we will be defeated. We will be defeated by death, by old age, by disease, you know. We will be totally useless. But when the Lord comes to this world, the day of his appearance is called Jayanti, which means victory. Because by the very fact that he is coming, he is already victorious. And Lord Chaitanya has chosen to appear on this day because this is the victory of love. Lord Chaitanya is the incarnation of love of Srimati Radharani. And when he comes, he wants to prove and to make clear for everyone that ultimately the love is victorious. The love is only triumphant thing which is here in this world. So that's the reason why Lord Chaitanya appeared on this holy day. And usually also on this day, the swing festival in Vrindavan, in Braj area, is being performed. Radha and Krishna are placed on a swing, and they're swung together. So this combined incarnation of Radha and Krishna has appeared on this particular day. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya composed this beautiful bhajan in celebration of Lord Chaitanya. And he's describing his appearance and his mission. Please try to be very attentive, and you may use the sheets to follow my explanations of this bhajan. But first, before I start explaining the bhajans, the stanza after stanza of this particular bhajan, I would like to make a few points about conversion of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Yesterday I already told the story about conversion of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, how he was about to be converted, actually. I didn't tell about conversion. But I told that he was a very, you know, genius and at the same time stone-hearted logician. The only logic was there in his mind. And his heart was very hard, like a stone. And after the encounter with Lord Chaitanya, you know, initial encounter with Lord Chaitanya, as I described yesterday, he developed some doubts about the rightness of his way of life. Some doubt appeared in his heart because he saw Lord Chaitanya who is crying, who is in complete ecstasy, and some kind of slight hope appeared in his heart. May I one day be like him? May this day will come when I become like him, when I also, the tears of love will flow from my eyes. And after this initial hope or thought, Gopinath Acharya started praying for him. And in fact, Gopinath Acharya, when he heard arrogant words of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was speaking with Lord Chaitanya, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told Lord Chaitanya, "You're just young sannyasi. What hope is there for you to maintain your sannyas vows? There is no hope unless I teach you and unless I reinitiate you into higher sampradaya." And when Gopinath Acharya heard these arrogant words of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he became so grieved in his heart and he blocked his ears and he said, "Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu." And he went out and he said, "I will fast until this guy will become a devotee. And I will not take food until and unless he will become a Vaishnava." And he started praying to Lord Chaitanya, "My dear Lord, please do something to convert this man. Please do something so that his stone heart, stone-like heart would melt." So because of this initial prayer of Gopinath Acharya, because of his determination, Gopinath Acharya said, "I will not eat. I will not take even a drop of water until he will become the Vaishnava." So Lord Chaitanya, because he is very merciful to his devotees, he blessed Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And we know how it happened. For 7 days in a row, Gopinath Acharya was fasting. And for 7 days in a row, Lord Chaitanya was listening explanations of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya very logically was describing this Nyaya Shastra, the Nyaya Prasthan or Vedanta Sutra, which is full of logic. And he was describing and telling, and Lord Chaitanya was sitting there totally bored. You know. He was sitting there without saying a word. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was continuing. And ultimately, he kind of was wondering, you know, why are you silent? Why do you keep silence? It was going on and on and on and on and on. Finally, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, I don't understand whether you understand me or not. I'm saying and telling and you're listening. I see you're listening, but I don't understand whether you understand what I say or not. And Lord Chaitanya said, my dear sir, I understand the meaning of the sutras, but I don't understand what you're talking about. The meaning of the sutras is as clear as the sun. They don't need your explanations. Your explanation is like a cloud. They only make it the clear thing unclear. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he became completely, you know, he blew up. He said, what do you mean? What do you mean? And Lord Chaitanya said, if you want to listen, I can explain to you what I mean. And he started explaining Vedanta Sutra in a completely different way. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was trying to argue. Still, this logic, this contamination of Gyan was there, very deep rooted in his heart. And he was arguing and they were arguing together. But Lord Chaitanya, he was just saying in a smilingly, with a smiling face, you know, arguments. And ultimately Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, I can't say anything. You defeated me. You're right. I was wrong. You know, and it's for a logician. It's the most difficult thing to pronounce. To say, you are right and I'm wrong. This is practically impossible for somebody who likes to argue, for somebody who knows logic, you know. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is the greatest logician of the world. So he pronounced this and he said, yeah, you're right. But then in his heart there was a desire, no, still I'm right. Still, I will show you. So he said, could you please explain me this Atmarama Shloka? Atmarama Shloka from Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Lord Chaitanya, he mentioned this. Lord Chaitanya, he mentioned in his explanation of Vedanta Sutra that bhakti is greater than anything else. Lord Chaitanya said that bhakti is greater and the proof is Sukadeva Goswami. Because Sukadeva Goswami was self-realized soul who realized Brahman. And he was in this Brahmananda, in the bliss of Brahman. But still, he was converted and he became a Vaishnava because the bliss of Prema, the bliss of love of God is stronger, is higher. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, taking this as an excuse, he took this Atmarama Shloka from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is describing this Atmaramas Chamunayo, that even Atmaramas, those who manage to take pleasure from within, from the heart, who don't need any other pleasure, even they become Vaishnavas again. Because the pleasure of being Vaishnavas is stronger than the pleasure of any other way or any other pleasure. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he asked Lord Chaitanya to explain. And Lord Chaitanya said, what can I explain? I'm just a simple Vaishnava, you know. I'm not a very learned person. You explain. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, this is my chance. Now I will show him how he can explain this shloka. And he started explaining this shloka in 9 different ways, breaking all the, you know, all the syllables and explaining the meaning of each word and explaining all the deep meaning of this. And Lord Chaitanya said, very good. Such a beautiful explanation. I have never heard such an explanation. Such a scholarly, such a thorough explanation. You must be Brihaspati, who has come from the higher planetary systems. But if you ask me to explain this, I will explain to you. And he started explaining this shloka, the same shloka. And he explained the same shloka in 64 different ways. He gave 64 different meanings without touching the 9 which Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya gave. And when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya heard this, he was totally humiliated. He was totally smashed to pieces. Nothing remained from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, from his pride. And in this state of utter humility, he surrendered unto the Lord. Because this is the state when you can surrender unto the Lord, when you are utterly humiliated. And this is actually some kind of bliss, which people usually don't experience. Usually people think that the source of bliss is to become proud. The more proud I am, the more blissful I am, right? I am big, I am great, I am this, I am that. But the real bliss is to become humble. The real bliss is to become defeated. And when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when he experienced this, because Lord Chaitanya, he has chosen the very appropriate way of converting this man. This man could not be converted in any other way. He has proven to him that he is nothing. You know, this greatest genius, scholar, and this and that. He was totally defeated by Lord Chaitanya. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, now I know you are the Lord. Nobody else could do this. Nobody else could defeat me. Nobody else could explain this shloka so beautifully. Nobody else, you know. That was for him, that was the proof. And from this, you know, state of utter humility, he started praising Lord Chaitanya. And he started explaining the glories of Lord Chaitanya. And he started crying. And Lord Chaitanya showed him his six arms form. And when Gopinath Acharya, when he came, and he saw this scene, Lord Chaitanya is sitting, and he is very peaceful, and he is smiling, you know, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he is mad out of ecstasy. He is jumping, and he is crying, and he is rolling on the ground, and he is, you know, and he doesn't know what to do. And Gopinath Acharya, he became so happy. He said, "Thank you, my Lord. You saved me. Otherwise, I would die from hunger." Now he is a devotee. You saved my life. I know, you saved. You made him a devotee only because of your compassion towards me. But now I see your real mercy. Because such a man has become a real Vaishnava. When the heart is melted. Actually, the sign of Vaishnava is that the heart melts. And Lord Chaitanya comes to make us stone-hearted people. With this melted heart. His purpose of coming here is to melt our hearts. In Narada Pancharatra, there is a verse, and there is actually Vishnu Sahasranam, 1,000 names of Vishnu from Narada Pancharatra. And there the name Chaitanya is mentioned. And the name Chaitanya is mentioned on the fifth place. First Krishna is there, the first name, first Vishnu, then Krishna, then Ram, then Kesava, then Madhava, and then Chaitanya is there. So, explaining this verse, the meaning of Chaitanya, it is said there that Chaitanya, because Chaitanya means consciousness. Chaitanya means feelings, because what consciousness is? Consciousness means feelings. And the meaning of this word Chaitanya, which is explained in Narada Pancharatra, is that Chaitanya is the incarnation of the Lord who comes to make inanimate living beings animate, to make stone-like human beings animate, to animate somebody who is inanimate. You know, and that's our situation and our position, because we have become almost inanimate. The more one is sinful, the less he is capable of feeling love. This is a very definite and factual and true description of our situation. The feeling of love, which is the gift of the Lord, which is the greatest gift of the Lord, this softness of the heart, this compassion which is there in the heart, you're less capable of experiencing this compassion, which is the highest bliss. The highest love and my highest compassion, this is the highest bliss. You are less capable, or proportionately less capable, as much as you are sinful. The more you are sinful, the less you are capable of experiencing this. And the Lord Chaitanya is coming just for this purpose. Just to make those people who almost become animals, to make them Vaishnavas, and to melt their hearts. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is the vivid example of this. And after realizing this, in his mature realization of Lord Chaitanya's mission and appearance and meaning of his incarnation, he writes this beautiful bhajan, Sri Sri Sachi Sutashtapam, where the refrain is Pranamami Sachi Suta Gauravaram. So he first says Pranamami Sachi Suta Gauravaram. After each stanza, he says that I'm bowing down to the beautiful son on Mother Sachi, Sachi Suta Gauravaram. And he has this brilliant luster, which is like molten gold. So he calls Lord Chaitanya Sachi Suta. And this is very significant. Why does he call him Sachi Suta? Why Sachi Suta? And usually we see that Lord Chaitanya is called Sachi Suta, Sachi Nandana, Sachi Sunu. He's always called after his mother. Very rarely Lord Chaitanya is called Jagannath Suta. Sometimes he is called, but very rarely. When we take Krishna, Krishna is very often called Nanda, Nanda Nandana, Nanda Tanaya, or whatever, on behalf of his father. But Lord Chaitanya is always called on behalf of his mother. This is a very significant point. Why he is called after his mother. I don't know how it's in Finland, but in Russia, and there is this patronymics. When you approach somebody who is respectful, and when you tell somebody or speak with somebody who is very respectful, or you want to show the respect, you name his name and the name of his father. Not only his name, but the name of his father. Like, but here we see Lord Chaitanya is called after his mother. The name of his mother is always mentioned. Why? The reason is actually very significant and very deep for this. Because the reason for this is because what you get from your mother. The mother is the first guru. According to Vedic tradition, the first guru, the first one who teaches you how to live this life is mother. And the mother is supposed to give love. If the mother is not giving love, if the mother is not giving this foundation of the life, the person will become criminal. Those people who are, you know, somehow or other, they're grown up without love of their mother, they will never be able to experience love. That's a very essential point. This is a very foundational thing which mother is supposed to give. And usually these people, they become criminal because they don't have compassion in the heart. What the father gives, the father later on, he gives, you know, he trains the person, he trains, he teaches him values, and he gives the intelligence, he gives the qualities, some virtues. He basically brings up the person to the level of mature personality. That's also very important that the father is there. When the father is not there, the person is always dependent. But the mother is giving the most important, the most essential thing, love and compassion. And when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya calls Lord Chaitanya Sachisuta, he is addressing him as somebody who can give love, as somebody who has got, you know, immense, unlimited love of Mother Sachi. And because he has got this unlimited love of Mother Sachi, he is distributing this love all over the world, very freely. So he's saying, Pranamami Sachisuta Gauravaram, I'm going down to you, O son of Mother Sachi, because you are capable of giving me love. Because you are the only one who can transform everyone by your love and by your compassion. And he said, Now, Nava Gauravaram, Nava Pushpasharam, Nava Bhavadaram, Nava Lasya Param, Nava Hasya Karam, Nava Hema Varam. He's saying always, almost in all the stanzas of this bhajan, this word Nava. Nava means new. And he's saying, you brought something new. He's praying to Lord Chaitanya, he's saying, you brought something which nobody besides you has brought so far. Nava Gauravaram, Nava Pushpasharam. Nava Gauravaram, you have this new or fresh color of Gaura. Fresh color of cream, as it is said here. This molten, how it is said here, Navahemavaram, this new or fresh color of the molten gold. That's the first thing which is very essential. Because the color in the Vedic tradition, the color is the manifestation of the mood. The color of somebody is actually external manifestation of internal mood. Like, for example, when you internally become angry, what is the color of your face becomes? You become red, right? Your eyes become red, you know, because internally you're experiencing anger. But externally, it manifests as some kind of color change. And when, you know, the color, this symbolism of color is very significant. The red color means passion. Therefore, when the, you know, the couple is married, a lady is, you know, dressed in a red color, in a red sari, because she's symbolizing the passion. And the man is in a white dhoti, because the white means emptiness, you know. He knows what he's approaching. Anyway, so there is this, you know, symbolism of color is there. The red color means passion. And Usually the widows, they wear white saris, because the white color is the symbol of separation. The white color, when you're separated with somebody, you become pale. And this whiteness, white means empty. This emptiness is symbolized by this white color. And Lord Krishna is, of course, Shyam. And Shyam means dark. He is black. And dark, this is the internal meaning of his mood. Dark means madhurya. And one can wonder why Krishna is black. Like some Christian people, they always say, your Krishna is black. And black means he is Satan. Right? You know, he has this black color. But there is a very deep meaning of this black color. Sometimes, you know, once gopis, they were discussing why Krishna is black. Gopis, they got together and they started discussing why Krishna is black. You know, and somebody said, because he was born in a dark night. Because Krishna was born in, you know, midnight. And therefore he's black. You know, whoever is born in the midnight, he is black somewhat. You know. And another gopi said, no, you are wrong. No, that's not the reason. That cannot be the reason. This is too superficial. He is black because Mother Yashoda always gives him the milk of the black cows. And he drinks the milk of the black cow, therefore he is black. And somebody else said, no, this is ridiculous. You know. He cannot be black. This is too superficial explanation. I will give you the real explanation. This is Vishakha said. And Vishakha said, he is black because he's always... Vishakha, another manifestation of Vishakha is Yamuna, river Yamuna. And river Yamuna is black. And Vishakha says, because he's always taking bath in Yamuna, therefore he's black. That's the reason. Yamuna is black and he's taking snan in Yamuna, and therefore he's black. And then Srimati Radharani said, no, this is not the reason. The reason why he is black is that because you gopi look at him. And when you gopi look at him, you're so greedy and you just devouring him with your eyes. And you take him with your eyes and you place him in your heart through the eyes. You take Krishna and you place him through the eyes, and that he's going through the eyes to the heart. And because your eyes have this black, you know, you have this black around your eyes, therefore Krishna is black. You know, he's going through your eyes, and therefore he's so black in your heart. Anyway, the meaning of black, the real meaning of black is that black is something, it's the color which absorbs everything. And Krishna's function in the creation, he's taking. Krishna is receiving love. Krishna is absorbing everything. Krishna is the original enjoyer. Madhurya means he is enjoying. And enjoyment means to take. So therefore he is black. Because blackish color is the color which is absorbing everything. And Lord Chaitanya is yellow. He is the color of molten gold. And golden color means what? Golden color means to give. Golden color means like the sun is golden. The sun is distributing this light and heat, and therefore Lord Chaitanya is of the same color. He's coming here, and Sarvabhauma Bhattachary, he's saying here, Navagauravaram, you have come with this new color. Nobody else before you came with this color. Nobody else came with this mood. Nobody else is so compassionate as you. Nobody else is so freely distributing whatever he has, and whatever he doesn't have, you know, everything he is giving. So that's the meaning of this Navagauravaram, Navapushpasaram. And Pushpasaram means flowers. And Saram means the arrows. And Pushpasaram, this flowery arrows, it's the weapon of whom? Whose weapon it is? Who is throwing Pushpasaram into the hearts of living beings? Yes, Cupid. Viryavan Prabhu knows this. He's the only one. So, God of love, Kandarpa. Kandarpa, he has this bow and arrows. And this special arrows. And when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, Nava Pushpasaram, he means that you brought this new arrows of love. the new arrows which can pierce the heart of living beings. You brought something which is more powerful than the old arrows of Cupid. And the new arrows can pierce the heart of everyone. This is the new arrows which you brought here. And Nava Bhava Dharam, you brought the new Bhava. You are holding the new Bhava. You are the vehicle or receptacle of this new Bhava which you brought. And Navalasya Param means that you are always dancing. What it means? One of the most beautiful features of Lord Chaitanya, like Narottam Das Thakur, he says, where is this beautiful dancer who has left us? Always when the poets are talking about Lord Chaitanya, they're singing about his dance. When Lord Chaitanya was dancing, people were so amazed and so struck with wonder, then just by seeing his dance, the people would be fainting. So beautiful it was. But when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is saying, you brought these new dances, he's saying a very significant thing. Because in India, this art of dancing is very elaborate. You know, there is a school of dance, Bharatanatyam, the classical dance of India. And to teach this, you know, this art of dancing properly, you have to spend 5 years, or 10 years, or 15 years of your life. Every day you have to do this. And, you know, because this is an art. Because every muscle of your body has to dance. It's not like, you know, this gross Western dance. And in Bharatanatyam, every muscle should dance. You know, the eyes should, you know, do some movements there. You know, and the ears should move in a certain way. And, you know, and the, this should move in a certain way. In a very minute things, you know, you dance and... It's a whole language, you know. You describe something which is going on internally. Again, the meaning here, the dance is the manifestation of an internal mood. And this art is very beautiful, actually, if you know the art. If you usually when Westerners, they look at this Bharatanatyam, they cannot understand anything, you know, because they are too dull for this. But the original art is there. But here, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, you brought the new dances, the dances which have never been before you. Because actually when Lord Chaitanya dances, it's not him who is dancing. Like Prakashananda Sarasvati in Kashi, in Benares, he prohibited Lord Chaitanya. He said, why are you dancing? Sannyasi is not supposed to dance. This is actually a sin for sannyasi. Sannyasi shouldn't dance and sannyasi shouldn't sing. And Prakashananda Sarasvati was very angry about Lord Chaitanya. You're a disgrace for sannyas order, he said. But Lord Chaitanya, actually, when he is dancing, it's not he who is dancing. It's prema, which is within him. The prema is teaching him dancing. Like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is explained that, that the prema is the dancing teacher. The teacher who is teaching us how to dance. So when the Vaishnavas are dancing, like we are sometimes dancing, you know, in a very strange way, you know. Like in one temple in Russia, there is a temple president, and he has a military background. He's a military man. And he has heard that, you know, during the kirtan, you're supposed to manifest the symptoms of ecstasy. And the main symptom of ecstasy is that you raise your hand like this. So he issued an order. Its order was there on the wall of the temple, you know. From now on, everyone is, you know, raising the hands in the kirtan. you go to this temple and the kirtan is going on and there, you know, somebody is leading and everyone is standing there. Then they turn and everyone is like this. You know. in a very dull way. Mechanically. But, you know, when Lord Chaitanya is explaining, when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, Navalasya Param, he's saying that, you know, when he is dancing, when Lord Chaitanya is dancing, it's so beautiful because it's a natural love which is dancing within his heart. And he's just moving according to this prema. He was not learning Bharatanatyam for many years. he's just naturally dancing because the prema is dancing in his beautiful heart. And he said, Navahasya Karam. Navahema Varam. Navahasya Karam He brought new smiles. Hasi means smile. He brought something which has never been before. This is also a very important thing. Because sometimes people, especially from Christian tradition, they think that the religion is, must be something boring. Religion must be something, you know, you go there and then boom, 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 boom. And you always cry, and you know, and it's so boring. You go to the church and it's like a grave. You know, it's, you always feel, and there is this, you know, gruesome figure with blood, you know, and it's like, the mood is so heavy. So once I read an interview of one Christian priest. Somebody asked him, what do you think about, you know, humor and about laughing? And he said, no, you, humor is not allowed, you know. Christ, he has never laughed in his life. You know. He was always condemning. And but it's not like this. Actually, the spiritual life is full of joy. And here he says, he brought new smiles. And that's very essential, because why did he bring new smiles? What it means, new smiles? Actually, that's a fact. Lord Chaitanya, he brought new smiles because he teaches us to laugh at something which we have never loved before. If we conduct a psychological study of devotees, we will find out a very special thing, that devotees, they have a very special sense of humor. You know, sometimes I was, you know, always amazed. Sometimes somebody is giving Srimad Bhagavatam class and he starts speaking about death. He's speaking about somebody is dying and this and that. And everyone is laughing, you know, and he's laughing also. You know, it's a very special sense of humor, because usually people, they don't joke about death. You know, this is the one thing which is reserved not to be joked about. But Lord Chaitanya, he brought a very special sense of humor. He was very humorous himself. And he brought this, you know, very special world view. When you look in this world, and, you know, when you become a devotee, you look in this world and you start laughing at this world. Because you see how funny it is. You go to this, you go outside and you look at the people, and if you really look with them from the spiritual perspective, you will start laughing because they're so funny, you know, they're going there and they're so busy. You know, like Lord Chaitanya, he showed this on the way to Gaya, when Lord Chaitanya went to Gaya, and he had few pupils with him, few students from his tola, from his school. They went on pilgrimage to Gaya. And Lord Chaitanya, they were passing by some forest, and in front of the forest, they saw two deers. And these two deers, they were jumping in front of each other, and they were playing some love play. They were dancing, you know, and, you know, I've never seen this, but it must be quite funny. So, and Lord Chaitanya saw this love play, the couple of deers, the male deer and female deer, and Lord Chaitanya started laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. And everyone said, well, why are you laughing? Why is it? What is so funny about this? What's so? And Lord Chaitanya said, look at this, you know, animals. They are so happy, you know, doing this stupid thing, you know. They're about to mate and they're doing this, you know. And he said that the human beings, if they don't have spiritual life, they become exactly like these animals. And they also, you know, do these stupid things. It's a very special sense of humor, you know. It's a very subtle way of doing this. He said that the poor human beings, if they don't have the spiritual life, they become exactly like animals. And they live like animals. They eat like animals. They mate like animals. They sleep like animals. And they defend like animals. So that's the sense of humor which Lord Chaitanya brought. He showed us the world in a different perspective. And the world, you know, people usually, when they do all these things, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, because this is the essence of the life, they're that serious, you know, they do it, it's such an important business, right, you know. I'm doing this, I'm eating, you know, bum, bum, bum. Or I'm mating, or whatever, you know, it's very important. But Lord Chaitanya came and he just laughed at this. He said, this is all useless. This is something which deserves laughing. And therefore, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, Navahasya Karam. He brought or he made everyone laugh in a very new way, in a very special way. Navahema Varaman. He is distributing or emanating this light of molten gold. Hemavaram. So this is the first verse. I don't know for how long I can go. Because I only explained the first one. No, I will finish before. I will go more quickly after that. So this is Lord Chaitanya, how he comes and for what he comes, and it's all described here. It said here, Nava Prema Yutam. You brought this new prema. You are being absorbed in this new prema, and Navanita Sucham. You are emanating this again. He is comparing him with the fresh butter when the butter was just churned, because his body is so gentle and so soft, like this freshly churned butter. He said, Navanita Sucham, you're coming here with this thing. And Navavesha Kritam, Nava Prema Rasam, you brought this new Prema Rasa, new taste of Prema. And Navavesha Kritam, you're always dressed in the new dresses. And one can wonder, how is that? Because he's a sannyasi. Lord Chaitanya, you know, and sannyasis, they don't have too many saris to wear. You know. They are not really, you know, famous for changing the clothes all the time. It's ladies, they always, you know, every day they have to put something new. But when he says, Nava Vesha Kritam, Vesha actually, Vesha again, this is the external manifestation of internal mood. What Lord Chaitanya has brought, he has brought this constant changings of internal moods. Nava Vesha Kritam, he is always dressed in different moods. Because when you are in different mood, you look differently. It's kind of external appearance, but it's coming from the heart. We usually have the same mood. We're usually bored, right? You know, unless the time comes for prasadam, then we're a little enlivened for some time, and then we become dull again. You know, usually this is the dullness is the constant, you know, constant state of our consciousness. But what Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is explaining about Lord Chaitanya, he's full of love. He's actually full of life. He's the source of life. And this life is like a fountainhead in his heart. And this fountainhead in his heart of life is always, you know, giving the new life, and new moods are there. He constantly changes his moods, and the moods are love of there. And he is, you know, bringing this prema, because this second stanza is about his internal mood of prema. And his mood of prema is unique. Nobody else before Lord Chaitanya, and actually after Lord Chaitanya, will never be able to experience what he has been experiencing. Because when Lord Chaitanya was crying, when the tears were flowing from his eyes, it is said that it was not the tears not were flying, not were flowing, they were flying in the sky, you know. The tears were like, when Lord Chaitanya was, there was so much tears there, that they were just, you know, like syringes were, you know, were brisking out from his eyes, you know. That's what it is, you know. Lord Chaitanya, when he was, you know, he was like a fountain. From his eyes, the tears were shooting out. When for the first time, Maharaja Prataparudra saw Lord Chaitanya. He was hiding behind the column in Lord Jagannath temple, and Lord Chaitanya was dancing in front of Lord Jagannath, and the tears were flying from his eyes, and his whole body was dirty because of the tears. He was, you know, crying, and the tears were there, and the tears are not considered to be very pure. It's not very pure substance. And then he would fall on the ground, and he would roll on the ground, and, you know, the dirt was there. And this Maharaja Prataparudra thought, who is that, you know? Who is that person? He looks really strange, you know, with all these tears and everything. He couldn't really understand. He couldn't relate to this mood. Because the mood which Lord Chaitanya brought, it has never been there. You know, sometimes the ecstasy was so strong within his heart that he would withdraw all his limbs within the body, and he would become like a tortoise. He would run from Gambira, from this room where he was staying, and the devotees, when they discovered that he ran away at night, in the morning they started looking for him, and they couldn't find him. Lord Chaitanya was nowhere to be found. And finally, by the wall of Jagannath Temple, this is a huge wall and huge temple, like a fortress, and they saw, you know, cows. And there was, a lot of cows, and they were so excited. All the cows had their tails up. You know, when the cows are especially excited, they have the tail up. And they saw this, you know, and the cows were licking something, and they were fighting with each other to lick something there, you know, and a very unusual scene. And because devotees, they were used to know, they knew that if something unusual is happening, it's probably caused by Lord Chaitanya, because he's such an unusual person. So they try to understand what is the reason for excitement of these cows, why they are so excited. And they drove away all the cows, and they discovered Lord Chaitanya there, who is like a tortoise. All the limbs of his body are withdrawn within, and the cows, they were licking him. And because the taste of Lord Chaitanya, the smell of Lord Chaitanya was so intoxicating, the cows were mad out of ecstasy. So this is the ecstasy with Lord Chaitanya. It's very difficult to relate to it, you know, for us who are, you know, brought in this, you know, dull culture where people don't experience any emotion, basically. Practically no emotion whatsoever. The less emotional you are, the more cool you are, right? You know, you're supposed to be cool. So, but it's difficult to understand this. But this is what he is. And that's what Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is saying here. Nava prema yutam, nava nita sucham. You brought these new emotions, which have never been experienced before. And nava prema rasam, these new tastes, which have never been tasted before in this material world. And Navadavilasat Shubha Prema Mayam, and you brought this bhakti, but the bhakti which you bring, which you brought with you, Navada means ninefold bhakti. The bhakti which starts from Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam. You brought this ninefold bhakti or nine limbs of bhakti, but the bhakti which you brought is completely different from the bhakti which was there before. Like sometimes we say that we are very traditional religion. Sometimes we, when some anti-cult people come or some journalists come, we say we are very traditional, bhakti is there for thousands of years. But actually we are not traditional at all, to be truthful. Our tradition starts from Lord Chaitanya, and that's not very traditional. And even, he didn't bring any tradition. The bhakti, the traditional bhakti which was there before, has completely different nature. Yes, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks of bhakti, but he doesn't really reveal the bhakti, the prema bhakti which Lord Chaitanya has brought, which Lord Chaitanya is revealing. The bhakti in Bhagavad Gita, bhakti mama bijanati, bhakti is the means of knowing the God. That's what bhakti in Bhagavad Gita is. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, this is the means of knowing me. This is how you can know me if you love me. But bhakti is not really self-valuable in Bhagavad Gita, so to speak, in one sense. So what Lord Chaitanya brought, he brought this new bhakti, which is the pinnacle of bhakti, which is much more divine and much more elevated than the bhakti which has been there before. It's not the means, it's the end. It's the highest end which was there, which we are supposed to experience all together. And this is what he brought. So the first stanza is about his, you know, external dresses and external, how the prema manifests externally. The next stanza is about how the prema manifests internally, what he experiences is, what he tastes when the prema is there. That's the second glorification of Lord Chaitanya. And the third glorification of Lord Chaitanya in this Sachi Sutashtakam, Hari Bhakti Param, Hari Nama Dharam, Karajapya Karam, Hari Nama Param, Nayanesatatam pranayashrudaram pranamami sachisuta gauravaram. He's speaking about the means of achieving this state of consciousness. He's speaking basically about sadhana. And he's speaking something which are very familiar to us. Hari Bhakti Param, he is the bearer, or he has brought this Hari Bhakti, the highest Bhakti Param, Harinama Dharam, through the means of this Harinam, of the holy name. And therefore he's chanting the holy name always, Karajapya Karam, by his hand. He has the japa beads. He basically has the same means of japa. But his japa is different. You know, we're chanting japa and Lord Chaitanya is chanting japa. We are doing it with our hand, that he is doing with our hand. But then he says, Harinama Param, but his name is Param. Means his name is pure. When he pronounces the name, this is Sudanam. And Sudanam brings about pure love. Our name is offensive. Or at best, it's a shadow of a holy name. But he brought the holy name and he is inducing us to achieve this purity of holy name. And the sign of the purity of the holy name is in the next line. Nayanesatatam pranayasrudaram. Because his name is so pure, when he chants the holy name, the tears are flowing from his eyes. And not just some tears. Like sometimes when we chant the holy name, you know, one tear, sometimes, very rarely, you know, squeezed out from there. It happens. Sometimes it happens with me, you know, one tear or two tears, and you feel, this is great, you know, far out. 2 tears today. Lord Chaitanya, Sarvabhama Bhattacharya says, Nayanes satatam pranayasudaram. Always the tears are there. As soon as he pronounces the holy name, the tears are there. Because he knows what the holy name is. That the holy name is not different from Krishna. And because he has this deepest realization in the heart, because his name is so pure, the tears are constantly flowing from his eyes. It's actually interesting how Lord Chaitanya himself described it. Basically, the third stanza is about sadhana, the sadhana which we are doing. And the sadhana which Lord Chaitanya is doing, this is the sadhana of tears. This is the highest form of sadhana. And the highest stage of devotional service, your sadhana becomes when you cry. You go to the Lord and you cry. Why? Because your heart is so melted. You know, because your heart becomes liquid. It comes out from the eyes. You know, the heart is just liquid. There's nothing there. Now the heart is, you know, quite hard. And because it's so hard, there's no eyes there. You know, it's as difficult to squeeze out tears from our eyes as it is difficult to squeeze out some water from the stone, from the rock. You go to the rock, you know, and you try to get some water. It's difficult. And the rock is there, boom, 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 boom. Therefore, the water is not coming. But when the heart becomes melted, then the tears are flowing on its own. Pranayasra, actually pranaya, it's a very special mood and a very special stage of spiritual development. Pranaya literally means affection. But pranaya is a stage where your heart is so melted, so molten, that it becomes totally indistinguishable from the heart of somebody whom you love. Like when you take 2 pieces of metal, and these 2 pieces of metal, they're very hard. And if you try to mix these 2 pieces of metal, you cannot mix them. The only way to mix the pieces of metal is just to heat them when they melt. And when 2 pieces of metal melt, then they mix with each other. So the stage of pranaya is when you love somebody so much, then your heart melts after the temperature of this love, and your heart melts so much, then you don't really distinguish anymore between yourself and the other one. Your love is so big that you basically, you feel his pain, and you feel his love, and you feel whatever he experiences. When our heart is selfish, we don't really feel what others experience. Because our heart is in this, you know, covering, heart covering. and somebody next to us, and he's suffering, he has fever or whatever. But because the heart is so hard, we don't feel it. But when the heart becomes molten, when it melts, then you experience everything which your beloved experiences. And even the greater extent, you know, if he feels pain, you feel pain, even greater. And you try to help him, to relieve him from the pain. If he feels some bliss, you feel the same bliss, and you're even more blissful than him. That's how it works with the soft heart. That's what is supposed to happen with our heart. And Lord Chaitanya, he's saying basically in his Shikshastakam prayers that there are different ways of sadhana. On a different stages of devotional development, on our devotional career, the sadhana should be different. Like in the first stage is called shraddha, of faith. And the characteristic of faith, when you just become faithful, when you just develop this faith in Lord Chaitanya and his love and the holy name, then the first sadhana is to become enthusiastic. Actually, the faith is synonym of enthusiasm. And on the first stage, your sadhana should be enthusiasm. Like, you know, when somebody, you know, chants the kirtan and he's just jumping, you know. And he's probably not jumping because the prema is there in the heart, but he's jumping because of the enthusiasm. You know, and that's good, that's sadhana. In the first stage, because when you develop the faith is a very beautiful thing. It's a very valuable thing. And actually the manifestation of this faith should be the grateful heart. And the grateful heart means you're enthusiastic, you want to do something. You want to do something for Lord Chaitanya, you jump out of the temple, you distribute some books. So this is the first stage, the characteristic, and the sadhana of the first stage is enthusiasm. And the sadhana on the second stage, you know, when you realize how deeply you are actually in Maya, nam nama kari bahudanija sarva shaktis, so you start lamenting. At one point of your devotional career, you have to start lamenting about the pitiable state of affairs within your heart. You have been chanting for so long, and still, you know, the heart is still hard. The heart is still not moving. And that's also sadhana, this internal mood of lamentation, you know, how unfortunate I am. So much anarthas I have, and so much anarthas, I'm not capable of overcoming this anarthas. And unless we start lamenting about this, we will not be able actually to overcome the anarthas. The reason why sometimes people don't go after this stage, usually actually, the devotees, they don't really experience anything higher. They go to this anartha nivritti stage or bhajana kriya stage, you know, and they think, okay, bhajana kriya means I have to do this. Hare Krishna, okay, I'll do this somehow or other. How many years it is till death? Okay, 20 years. Okay, no problem. Hare Krishna, 20 years, somehow or other. We will tolerate it. Hare Krishna, it's 19 years more. We will suffer through it. But actually the sadhana on this stage, Lord Chaitanya teaches us that the sadhana, that Durdaivam Idrisham Ihajaninanunarag, he's crying. Durdaivam, I'm so unfortunate. I'm chanting the holy name, I don't feel anything from the holy name. Nothing is coming in my heart from the holy name. Unless you start lamenting, you will not be able to overcome the problems which are there in the heart. The problems will remain there and you will not experience the taste. So this is the second sadhana which you are supposed to experience, or which you are supposed to do at one point when you go a little deeper in this practice of devotional service. And then on the next stage, your sadhana should be complete dependence on the Lord. When you are totally dependent, humility means you are not dependent on yourself. Pride means you are dependent on yourself. Pride means I am. I am the doer. I am doing this and I will make it, right? You know, we will get it, you know. But humility means you're dependent on the Lord. And this is also sadhana, you know. When you're humble, you're trying to understand what the Lord wants from you. And you're trying to do whatever He wants from you, and at the same time you're tolerating, you're dependent on Him. This It is very beautifully described by one disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Nishikant Sanyal, Dr. Nishikant Sanyal. He says that actually these two things, tolerance and humility. Humility means you are not dependent on yourself. Humility means you are not identifying yourself as a doer anymore. And tolerance means you are dependent on the Lord. You tolerate. You know, Lord is there. He is protecting you. He is within your heart. He knows what is the best for you. That's what it is. And this is two things which you have to develop. This is sadhana. You are not dependent on yourself. You are depending on the Lord. At the same time, you try to serve Lord Chaitanya as much as you can. And then, you know, on the next stage, your taste becomes the sadhana. You're tasting this. Nadanam, najanam, nasundarim, kavitam, vajagadishas, kamaye. When you say, you know, everything else is tasteless. I don't need women. I don't need gold. I don't need anything. Only thing which I need, pavatat bhakti, ahai tu kitvai, this bhakti, because it brings so much more taste to me than anything else. So this tasting becomes sadhana. And then only on the higher stages, then the attachment becomes sadhana. Attachment and understanding of miserable nature of this world becomes sadhana, according to the fifth stage of Shikshashtakam. And then only Nayanam Galadashrudaraya, when the tears are flowing from the eyes. Then only on the level of Bhava, on the highest level, the tears become our sadhana. When we tear, when we serve Lord Chaitanya by crying about Him. And there are so many stories about this. I will not tell the stories because it's late. So this is the third stanza or the third verse of this Sachistuttashtakam. And the fourth verse is actually very interesting. It says in the first verse, Satatam Janata Bhavatapaharam. And Janata means ordinary people. And he says, Satatam, always, Janata Bhavatapaharam. Always, he takes away the sufferings of the ordinary people. And then he says, Paramarta Parayana Loka Gatim. And he gives the Paramarta Parayana, the highest goal to people. Because Parayana means goal, destination. You don't have the translation of it. The translation, he is the goal of life for persons who are dedicated to this supreme... you have? Okay. Okay. To the supreme interest. He is giving the goal of those people who are dedicated to the supreme interest. Paramarta Parayana Loka Gatim. And then Navaleha Karam. This is very interesting. Because Leha means bees. And Navaleha Karam means he turned all the people into the bees. All the people start buzzing. And they become, you know, like devotees sometimes. I remember once I was, in the metro, in the subway, and I was chanting, and somebody said, why are you buzzing, you know? Could you please stop buzzing? So the devotees, they're always buzzing like the bees. But that's not the meaning. He has not come to make us into buzzing bees. But there is a deeper meaning here. Jagatapaharam. And he is Jagatapaharam. Haram means stealing. He is stealing away this tapa, the sufferings of the whole world. So this internal meaning of this fourth verse is that Lord Chaitanya is relieving the whole world from the suffering. Jagatapaharam. And not even relieving, he is snatching the sufferings. Because haram means basically stealing. You know, he is not waiting when the world will give up the sufferings. He is stealing the sufferings. And he is doing it in a very special way for the three categories of people. Actually, in this verse, the three categories of people are mentioned. He says, for ordinary people, satatam janata bhavatapaharam, his bhavatapaharam, he is just relieving them from their normal sufferings. Like if people somehow or other got in contact with Lord Chaitanya, the first effect which is there, then this karma is not so heavy anymore. When you come to Lord Chaitanya movement and you start practicing this chanting of the holy name, that immediately you feel some relief. You feel that, you know, there's not such a heavy burden. You're seemingly doing the same things, but you immediately feel relief. So for ordinary people who just come here because they want some relief from sufferings, that's what Lord Chaitanya is doing. He is taking karma completely. And he is giving them whatever they like. You know, like in Russia, in 1998, there was this, you know, huge explosion took place there. Because Russian people are very, you know, emotional. So it was very emotional there. And then, you know, the hell broke. So people were cursing each other, you know, and ultimately they went away. And it's interesting. I'm watching, you know, I'm in devotees in ISKCON, our internal kind of thing, explosion. So I was watching, you know, what different people are doing and how they're doing. And, you know, some people, what really happened in 98, the real intentions of people becomes clear. Before that, it was kind of hidden. But in 98, it was kind of, you know, everyone started doing whatever he wanted to do. Whatever he really wanted to do. Before, they were doing this because, you know, because of some external reason or whatever. But it's interesting, you know, some people who were devotees, they become so successful materially. They become very rich, they become, you know, very... And they're still quite pious, they're doing their little chant, little there, you know. Basically, that's what they wanted. That's what Lord Chaitanya brought to them. They didn't want really to be totally absorbed in sadhana or do whatever. They wanted some material happiness, some material piety, and they became like this. They became happy, they became prosperous, they became pious, they're still chanting, they are, you know, sometimes they come to the temple, you know, every now and then, and they get each other and they say, this is sect, you know. When they're with each other, they say, this is sect. But sometimes they come to the temple because this is a good sect, you know. And, you know, this is kind of, this is what's going on. But actually that was the desire which was initially there in the heart. They came to Krishna consciousness only because they wanted some relief from material sufferings. And Lord Chaitanya is here for these people. If you just want relief from material sufferings, he is here to give it to you. Like, there is a story of... shall I tell the story or not? Or shall I go? I'm just afraid to be too long, to be too boring. when Lord Chaitanya was going... from Vrindavan, he went from Vrindavan to Navadvip. And on the way he was passing by, and because he had this, you know, intense love, intense prema in his heart, he was running. It is said actually when Lord Chaitanya was, he couldn't walk. Lord Chaitanya was always running because there was so much, you know, love in his heart. He couldn't just be peaceful, you know, he was running all the time. And he was running with his head, you know, up in the sky. He was, you know, looking at Krishna, like when you have this, how you call this, you know, when you, how you call this? When the children, they have this, you know, the wind, they have this, yes, me, I know. I know how it's in Russian, I know how it's in English. Huh? Whatever it is. It is said that like a child, you know, he's running behind this, you know, thing, and he's looking up there, what this is doing. So in the same way, Lord Chaitanya, he's running and he's looking up there. He doesn't see anything around him. And he had his some companions with him, but they couldn't really make up, you know, pace with him, because he's so quick, so swift. He's running ahead of them, and they're behind him. And then because of so much running, he was running through some village and the forest nearby, and then there was a little boy there, simple village boy, and the simple village boy had a huge pot of buttermilk with him, and he was bringing this buttermilk to market to sell this buttermilk. And Lord Chaitanya looked at him and he said, please give me something to drink. And the boy said, yeah, of course, take it. Lord Chaitanya takes this, you know, pot of buttermilk, and he drinks and drinks and drinks, and he drank the whole pot. And then the boy said, what shall I do? He said, I'm a sannyasi, I don't have money. You know, but behind me, there are some people, they are going somewhere behind. They will pay you. You ask money from them. You know, and the boy said, okay, you know, your sannyasi, okay, if they give, okay. And the boy sits down and Lord Chaitanya continues running. And then the people, his companions, they're going behind. And finally they reach this spot when the boy is sitting. And they ask the boy, did you see some sannyasi? He said, yes, yes, I saw sannyasi. He is huge and he drank all my buttermilk. And he said, by the way, that you have to pay for his buttermilk. And all these people, they're also penniless. They don't have money, you know. They're just working with Lord Chaitanya. And they said, what? Pay for him? You know, we don't have any money. You know, how are we supposed to pay for him? You know, if he drank, you know, he has to pay. You know, why should we pay? And they were a little embarrassed. And the boy, you know, he says, okay, no problem. You don't have to pay. You know, I just do it as a service for the sannyasi. Because he's so nice, you know, he drank this milk. It's okay. And then he says, I'll go home. And he, you know, he tries to lift the pot. The pot is closed with the lid, and he's trying to lift it, and he couldn't lift. He's trying and trying, and it's so heavy. And he's wondering that the pot is empty because Lord Chaitanya, you know, drank the whole, and he opens it, and it's full of gold. The pot is, he says, what? What is this? You know, and he leaves this immediately. He leaves this pot because he has extra strength, you know. And he runs there, you know, so happy. And Lord Chaitanya sees him, you know, he's somewhere far away, he's sitting, taking little rest, you know, and the Lord. This boy is dancing and dancing and dancing. Haribo, Haribo, Haribo. Anyway, Lord Chaitanya, he's very merciful. He can give you the gold if you want. If you want, he can give you anything. But basically, what is described here, that there are three levels of people. And the ordinary people who just want some relief from sufferings, they can receive the relief. They can get the relief from sufferings. Satatam janata bhavata paharam. But then he says, Paramartha parayana loka gatim, for those people who are looking for something, who are not satisfied with just living, who are really looking for something higher in life. Paramartha parayana, paramartha. Paramartha means wealth. Artha means gold. But paramartha means the higher goal and higher wealth. But for somebody who is looking for higher wealth, he is giving paramartha parayana loka gatim. He is giving himself as the goal. He's saying, this is the goal. This is something which you can strive for. This is something which you really can reach. And this is the highest goal possible. So that's another mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Because Lord Chaitanya, these people who are looking for something, who are not satisfied with just ordinary living, they are, you know, poor people. But they're nice people. But they're, you know, sometimes they get some inferior goals as the goal of life. Like all this, you know, devotees, they have these jackets. I think he has the jacket. You want to know the goal of life? Ask me, right? It's very proudly written there on the back of the jacket. If you want to know the goal of life, ask me. That's exactly what is said here. If you meet a person who is looking for a goal of life, who is, you know, whose life is empty, who is really senseless, who doesn't really know what he's living for, what the life is all about, then the Lord Chaitanya is giving the highest goal of life. It's not even moksha, it's not even liberation, it's not definitely money, definitely not material sense gratification, but the highest goal of life is love. And that's what Lord Chaitanya is giving for those people. He's giving the goal, or in other words, he's giving to them, to those people who are ready to accept some process of the sadhana, he is giving them the goal of sadhana. But the most essential point is this navaleha karam jagatapaharam. Navaleha karam, about these bees. The bees, he's turning people into bees, and this is also very important because the people, there is a usual comparison. Some people are compared with the bees, and some people are compared with the flies, right? The bees, what they see? They fly and they like what?
Honey.
Honey, yes. And the flies, what they like? The garbage. They like garbage. They like stool, you know, basically. So, what Lord Chaitanya is doing actually, he is turning people into bees because, see, our consciousness is so contaminated, and because of the contamination of the consciousness, we become like the flies. This contaminated consciousness has special attraction for garbage. And everyone, I'm sure, experiences this. You know, you see some garbage and you have somehow or other some special attraction to it. Or now there is a special, you know, provision for people who like garbage. This is called internet. Internet is a huge collection of mental garbage. It's the biggest collection of mental garbage, and all the mental garbage is collected there. And you can, you know, travel through this net of garbage for the rest of your life. And it's so interesting, you know, for people, because they're so attracted for garbage. They can, you know, like last year, it was reported that around 5 people, I don't remember how many, just died looking in the internet. Because by looking in the internet, they forgot about eating, drinking, sleeping, mating, and defending. They were just collecting this mental garbage. And because of this, they died. It's a fact. This is a new epidemic which is coming. Because they're so attracted for this garbage. So what Lord Chaitanya is doing, how he's relieving people, people who are really after something which is more valuable, he's coming to give them, to turn them into bees, to give them honey. He's saying this is the real interest in life. The real interest in life is just to become spiritual. And in this way, he's relieving them from the sufferings which are there, the sufferings of the pangs of separation which are there. So for the highest kind of people, he is giving them real honey, which is him. The real honey, for people who are seekers of love, he is giving them the real honey. He is turning himself into the honey, basically. And then I will make it short. So far we explained 4 verses of this song. And the 5th verse is Nija Bhakti Karam Priya Charutaram Natanartana Nagara Raja Kulam Kula Kamini Mana Salasya Karam Pranamani Shachi Sutta Gauravaram. Nija Bhakti Karam Priya Charutaram. In the previous verse it was said Jagatapa Haram, he is stealing away this Jagatapa, the sufferings or miseries of the world. And here in the 5th verse it says Nija Bhakti Karam, he is making people bhaktas of himself. He is giving people bhakti to himself. Nija bhakti. Nija bhakti means his own bhakti. And that's how Lord Chaitanya is actually relieving people from the sufferings. Before that it was said, he's relieving people from the sufferings. But here they said how? By making himself as an object of their bhakti, of their devotion. Because ultimately our sufferings, and I tried to explain this yesterday, on the lecture, that the reason, the cause, or day before yesterday, the cause of our sufferings is our selfishness. Because we're so absorbed in ourselves. All the diseases actually are coming because of this absorption in ourselves. Because we always think about ourselves. And, you know, and because we're thinking about ourselves, we develop some kind of diseases. You know, we feel little bit, you know, little pain is there. And we think, you know, it must be really dangerous disease. And we go to doctor, and doctor gives us some medicine, and disease becomes worse and worse and worse. And actually, that's a fact. All the diseases are from selfishness. All the sufferings are from selfishness. So what Lord Chaitanya is doing, he's coming, and he's so beautiful. And his beauty is so, you know, immense and so profound and so unbelievable, then people stop thinking about themselves. They become bhaktas of him. They develop so much love to him, and the love is the best cure from all the diseases, including material diseases. The only cure, actually, from material diseases. So that's how he makes us relieved from the sufferings of material body. And Priya Charutaram, he's so dear to all his servants. The servants They completely oblivious about themselves. They just want to serve him, and they don't want anything else. Like, there was a story with his servant, Govinda. Govinda was his personal servant, and he was his godbrother. He was the also personal servant of Ishwarapuri. And when Ishwarapuri left this world, before that, he told Govinda, you go to Chaitanya and you serve him. And Govinda, he became also his godbrother. He became such an obedient and servant of Lord Chaitanya that he was doing everything for Lord Chaitanya. And at one point, there was this story in Chaitanya Charitamrita is described when Lord Chaitanya, he became really tired. And he lay down and he slept on a threshold of the Gambira room. And it's considered to be a very great offense. And Govinda was inside, somehow or other. And he had to go outside of the room. And it's considered to be a very great offense when you step over somebody. If somebody is sleeping, or if somebody is sitting, you cannot step over him. This is a big offense. So Lord Chaitanya is sleeping, and he doesn't want to disturb his sleep. But at the same time, he has to go out for the service. So without hesitating for a moment, Govinda is stepping over Lord Chaitanya and going out and serve Lord Chaitanya. And then Lord Chaitanya wakes up and he's saying, well, Govinda, how come you're outside? You stepped over me? You know, because of course Lord Chaitanya knows, but he wants to test Govinda. He's asking, hey Govinda, why did how dared you? Because, you know, Lord Chaitanya is his master. And this is the servant, and the servant is, you know, obnoxiously stepping over the master. How you can do this? Lord Chaitanya is asking this question. And Govinda is saying, you know, I know this is aparat. And I know that because I committed this aparat, I will go to hell. But for the service of you, I am ready to commit thousands and thousands of aparats and be in hell eternally. Because I have to serve you. And because I am serving you, I don't mind committing aparats. For myself, I will not commit the slightest aparat. For service of my body, I will not do anything like this. But for your service, I am ready even to commit aparats. And this is actually the mood of gopis in Vrindavan when Krishna said, I need some dust because I have headache. I need some dust from the foot, from the feet of devotees. You know, you Narada Muni, bring me some dust. Then Narada Muni was asking everyone, and everyone said, no, please, you know, not dust from our feet to the head of Krishna, because we'll go to hell. And then he came to gopis and he asked, could you please give the dust? And they say, yes, of course, take as much as possible. Here you are. Take as much dust as you want. But then Narada Muni says, don't you know that you will go to hell? They say, yes, we'll go. We know, we'll go to hell, no problem. But his headache will be relieved. So that's what it's said here, that the devotion of Lord Chaitanya is bringing out such intense devotion in the hearts of the people, then they become completely oblivious of their own sufferings. They become such a great devotees of Lord Chaitanya, such a great servant, then they become about their own happiness and their own distress. And in this way, they're completely relieved from all the sufferings altogether. Natanartana Nagara Raja Kulam. And he's Natanartana. Nartana means dance. And Nagara means enjoyer. Raja Kulam. He's the king of the enjoyers. When he is dancing, you know, you can see that he is enjoying to the maximum. When he is dancing, you can see that the enjoyment which he experiences, it's incomparable. This is what Lord Chaitanya is. He brought this highest enjoyment which manifests externally in this dance. And Kula Kamini Manasa Lasya Karam. And then what happens? Kula Kamini Manasa Lasya Karam. All the, how it is translated here? It is translated here. He causes the mind of beautiful young village woman to dance. That's one translation of this. Kula Kamini. Kamini means beautiful woman. And that's something unusual, you know. We usually don't glorify Lord Chaitanya as somebody who is just, you know, tempting young woman. Kula Kamini Manasa Lasikaram. But actually, what it means, Kula Kamini also means Manasa. This Kamini means lust. And what it means that he forces the lust within our mind. And the lust is always there. The lust is there in our mind. But when we see how Lord Chaitanya is dancing, then the lust which is within our mind is dancing following Lord Chaitanya. And it becomes not lust, it becomes love. It becomes prema. He's basically taming the lust by all his manifestation and external appearance and everything else. He is taming the lust which is within our heart. And if we really meditate upon Lord Chaitanya, we can be completely free from the lust. The lust will be completely driven away from the mind and will be exchanged to pure love. And then Karatala Balam. This is actually Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that Lord Chaitanya has two weapons. That he was conquering this world by two weapons. One weapon is his personal duty. And this fifth verse is describing his personal duty. How he's conquering the world and conquering the hearts of the people by his personal amazing, unbelievable beauty. But the second weapon of Lord Chaitanya is his soft singing, is his sweet singing. So the sixth verse is saying this, Karatala Balam Kula Kanta Ravam. Kala Kanta Ravam means from his kanta. Kanta means throat. This sweet voice is coming. And he's Karatala Valam, he's Karatala Vala. Vala means he has Karatala and he's playing Karatala. And Mridu Vadya Suvina Kaya Maduram. And, you know, he's playing Vina, or his voice is like as sweet as Vina. Mridu means soft or sweet. And Nija Bhakti Gunavrita Natya Karam, and he's dancing. So this is the next weapon of Lord Chaitanya. He is singing and he is dancing. And today we go on Harinam. And basically Harinam means that we have to be so attractive by dancing and chanting that the people would be totally absorbed into love of God when they see Harinam. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen so often in our case. But in case of Lord Chaitanya, when he was dancing on the streets and when he was singing, people were completely absorbed or immersed in the love of God. And then Yuga Dharma Yutam Punarnanda Sutam Dharani Suchitram Baba Bhava Chitam. He's saying Punarnanda Sutam. Again, this son of Nanda come. The son of Nanda, he's calling him son of Nanda. It's also interesting because he's calling him Sachisuta, and at the same time he says Nanda Sutta. Nanda Sutta, as I explained, he is mentioning the name of his father. And the father is giving the teaching to you. And when Krishna came as Nanda Sutta, he is giving the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. And the teachings of Bhagavad Gita for developing characters, for developing certain qualities. So Lord Chaitanya is coming and he is Nanda Sutta. But he is coming as Sachisuta. And he's coming to give the same teachings which is there in Bhagavad Gita, which is basically means surrender unto me. Sarva dharma parityaja mama kam saranam raja. But he's coming in a different way, with a different method of teaching people this the same message. And Dharani Suchitram Bhava Bhava Chitam, he is Dharani Suchitram, he is upholding the earth. Bhava Bhava Chitam, by giving the most appropriate means for spiritual development. He is giving the means which is the most appropriate for everyone if he wants to be developed spiritually. And therefore, this is Yuga Dharma. This is Yuga Dharma Sutam. He is coming as Nanda Sutta, giving the same teachings as Krishna is giving, giving this Yuga Dharma. And he is giving it in the most appropriate way. And what is this most appropriate way? It's explained in the third line of this verse. Tanu dhyana chitam nija vasa yutam. And tanu dhyana chitam means tanu dhyana chitam, it's a strange thing one can sing. Tanu means body. Dhyana means meditation. And chitam means mind or consciousness. In other words, he is constantly meditating about himself. About the body of Nanda Sutta. And Nijavasa Yutam, and he's together with his abode, with his dhamma, with atmosphere which surrounds this. And that basically means that he is giving this most appropriate means of spiritual development, which means meditation upon Krishna in his dhamma, in his spiritual abode, in Vrindavan. He is giving something which is most valuable, not just thinking about Krishna, like when I was giving class on Sunday, and I was describing this, you know, somebody asked what it means, or yesterday, I don't remember, somebody asked what it means to think about Krishna. But to think about Krishna means not just to think about some figure. Sometimes we think that to think about Krishna means to just, you know, visualize some picture, you know, here he is. But no, Tanudhyana Chitana is to think about Krishna in a specific atmosphere, atmosphere of love, atmosphere of Braj, the completely selfless love which is there. Not Krishna alone, but Krishna which is surrounded with this love. That's what it means to think about Krishna. And that's exactly what is explained by Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya in the seventh verse, where it is said that he has brought Yuga Dharma with the most appropriate means by giving this pure love, love of Raja, to people of this world. And this is basically the last paragraph, because usually when there is Ashtakam, the main content of Ashtakam is within the seven stanzas, or within seven verses. And the eighth verse is kind of conclusion. The eighth verse is usually giving some conclusive words to summarize everything which was said before. And in the concluding verse, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya is saying a very beautiful thing. He says, Arunam Nayanam. It's interesting why, let's think about it, why he says exactly these words. Arunam Nayanam. And Arunam Nayanam, Nayanam means eyes. And Arunam means red. Red like the sun, like the rising sun. Arunam Nayanam, Charanam Vasanam. Charanam means feet. And he says his eyes are red, and his feet are red, and his vasanam, vasanam means dress. His dress is also red, because he is a sannyasi. And vadaneskalitam svakanamadharam, when he pronounced the name, his own name, svakanamadharam, when he chants his own name, Krishna, 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 then what happens, vadaneskalitam, his voice becomes choked. He cannot really pronounce it. He becomes, you know, like sometimes during Rathayatra, he would try to pronounce Jagannath's name, but the name was stuck in his throat. Kurute surasam jagatak jivanam. And kurute surasam jagatak jivanam, this is actually the key for this verse, to understand why this is the conclusion of the whole description of Lord Chaitanya. Kurute surasam jagatak jivanam. He's giving this, the whole world, he's giving the new, beautiful taste. Jagatak means the whole world, and surasam means beautiful taste. For all the jivas who are there in the world, he's giving this, them experiencing the new taste. And actually what is the comparison which is given here is that like the a rising sun, when the sun is rising, you know, before when it was dark, everyone was sleeping. But when the sun is rising, then the new life starts. Then the people, they start experiencing new taste. So appearance of Lord Chaitanya is actually the new day for the humanity. It's actually the manifestation of new era, the new day. When therefore, this description or this comparison is there. His eyes like sun, red like rising sun. His clothes like rising sun, and his charanam, his lotus feet are like rising sun, because he has come to awake everyone, because he has come to give the new taste of life, the new life to everyone. That's his mission. He has brought here life, and still we are so dull, and still we want to sleep. Still we want to go back to the sleep of material life. So that's how he is, this is the conclusion of his mission. He has come, he has arisen in this world to wake everyone up. Because everyone is so, you know, dull and almost dead in this world. And he is waking everyone up from this, you know, mortal and heavy sleep of material existence. So that's Lord Chaitanya. And for that, he is chanting the holy name. But because the holy name which he is chanting is so pure, He tries to chant the holy name, but he couldn't. The holy name, because of so much emotion, it's stuck in his throat. That's how he is awaking all of us. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That's Lord Chaitanya. That's his mission. And we are still so dull. We still don't understand anything. So that's what it is. I suggest, because there is no breakfast and because we have little time, I suggest we chant a little bit more of the holy name, because this is basically the essence of why Lord Chaitanya came here. So we have little kirtan at the end. Okay? Before we chant, I wanted to tell one more story. It's a little story. But that's important in order to understand how to chant. When Lord Chaitanya was having his nocturnal kirtans in the house of Srivas Pandit, once he started chanting, or Mukunda Das was chanting actually, and he started dancing, and usually immediately after, you know, chanting, when the chanting would begin, and he would start dancing, and the devotees around him would see how he's chanting, they immediately would be absorbed into this ecstasy of the holy name, very soon. But at this time he was dancing and Mukunda is chanting, but there's no ecstasy. And Lord Chaitanya stops and he says, no ecstasy today. How come? I don't feel, you know, no ecstasy in my heart. Where is it? And then he says, probably somebody who doesn't belong here is here. Probably somebody who is not really absorbed in the holy name is here, and he's spoiling all the kirtan. And he said, hey, Shivas, what happened? And Shivas starts looking, and he finds his mother-in-law, who is hiding under some basket. You know. There is this basket, big basket, and the mother-in-law, you know, an old lady is there. Shivas Pandit, he becomes so angry. He, you know, he grabs this mother, you know, and law, and he says, you know, wicked woman, get out of here. You spoiled the kirtan of Lord Chaitanya. And he kicks her out. And Lord Chaitanya starts dancing and he said, now it's better, yeah, now. Yeah. The reason was removed. And actually, this is a very essential reason, because the kirtan, when you chant the kirtan, and if everyone's mind is trying to reflect this holy name and trying to be absorbed in the holy name really sincerely, then the effect of the holy name is much greater. And if at least even somebody in the assembly who is thinking about something else, who is just, you know, chanting, you know, blah, 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 you know, in the usual spaced out way, immediately the whole kirtan is spoiled. Because the explanation or comparison is given that when you go to a room, like the consciousness is compared with the mirror. And when you chant the holy name, and if your consciousness is clear, then the mirror is reflecting. So when we chant the holy name is supposed to be reflected in everyone's consciousness. If everyone's consciousness is clear enough, and if it's clear enough, then, you know, if you go to a room where there are many mirrors, and you go with a little candle in this room, like, what happens with this candle? Because of this, so many mirrors are there, then the light of this candle becomes amplified many times. It becomes much brighter because of these mirrors. So somebody who is chanting, he is supposed to give this little light of holy name, little candle is there. But everyone else is supposed to try to reflect this holy name so that the light will become bright. Then the effect is greater. And if somebody is not reflecting, this light is kind of, you know, dissipating. It's not really there. So it's very essential when we chant, try to be there in the kirtan. Try to be in the holy name, in the sound of the holy name. And try to put the heart, try to chant with the heart. Let's try it. Let's do it with the heart. Hare Krishna.